720 WGN. It's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth here on the stream and for Bill and Wendy.
We're on the stream.
Here's what happens when we go from the studio live to the stream. We run. The studio is there on the it's a beautiful showcase studio on Michigan Avenue.
Yep.
The window's there. And this studio is up on the 7th floor, so there's running involved. And usually because you got to tinkle after the show. So there's running and
there's
who gets to go first?
Little snacking. No, there was no snacking today.
I mean, I had a Rolo in my purse and I ate that. I'm not going to lie.
Reese's in my pocket that melted. That's the kind of day that I've got going.
It's like
on.
That today. It's a melted chocolate kind of day.
But we're now up here.
Yeah.
Seventh floor.
Up here on the 7th floor. Well, as usual, we had a bunch of stuff planned that we didn't get a chance to talk about today.
So lucky we're here.
Lucky we're here because there's all this other, but we had some other stuff planned for the stream. So we're going to cram it all in here. One thing that I thought was really interesting, for the stream today, and that is a lot of people have been talking about the, Prince Harry, Meghan Markle wedding.
Yes.
I know I wrote an op-ed about it in the Los Angeles Review Books, and you'd think that I set a building on fire because people were quite angry about
it. Well, let's talk. I mean, you wrote an op-ed.
It was saying, like, whatever you want to do to get engaged is fine, but just make sure you're doing it mindfully, not mindlessly.
Yeah.
And the news hook that I used, and I think it was the news hook that got people mad. The news hook was that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle announced their engagement, walked out, and there was this, not only, did paparazzi, you know, jump around to get pictures of her ring, but there was quite a consumer appetite for looking at pictures of the ring. And that just made me think that, you know what? Why are we still doing this kind of thing based in bride wealth and dowry culture?
Yeah.
Like, it's fine if you want to wear an engagement ring. I'll be the first to admit, I think rings are very beautiful.
Yeah.
But, like, let's just do a gut check and make sure that still fits with your values. So I mentioned them just saying, and as they announce the engagement, of course, we're all looking for this ring.
Sure.
Most people did not read further than that. And just said, you just spent a whole article trashing Meghan Markle and her choices.
Well, I mean,
I don't know the woman.
Well, I'm telling you, we've talked about this before. We talked about it today on air in terms of, like, let's do the research for ourselves and read the rest of the article.
Literally, I could have replied to 300 tweets with, did you read it? Or clearly you didn't.
And that is a problem.
Yeah, it was irritating.
Yeah. So, but yes, I read it. It's a great article.
Thank you.
And let's all just know what we're talking about before we start trashing people. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
One person came to me and said, you know, just on the note of this one sentence, I want to, like, what about this?
Great.
That was great because that told me, she's like, I don't take issue with the rest of it. Just this one sentence made me wonder about this.
Right.
And I was like, great.
Well,
great.
Whenever someone starts with, I wonder, I am immediately in love with them because they have this attitude of openness and willing to have a dialogue versus, this is what you did wrong.
116 people called me the C word.
Oh my God.
And easily 100 were just like, be who asked you. It's like,
I mean,
whatever.
Yeah.
Let it go. Like, I put it out there. That's the thing. In any change, there's got to be struggle.
That is
true. In any progress.
There has to
be someone
that starts it, too.
Right. Somebody has to be the one to, like, step out on a limb and say, have we thought about this?
And you were
and challenge. And any time you challenge the status quo, it gets uncomfortable for people. I'm not saying if you have an engagement ring, you're wrong. I'm not saying if you want an engagement ring, you're wrong. I'm just saying, like, just gut check it.
Well,
like, just think about, is it right for you? For me, I don't think it would be.
Right.
I mean, to me, the most romantic engagement I can think of is like sitting around in a private moment with your partner and just being like, hey, let's get married. Yeah, let's do. I think we should.
Oh,
that'd be great.
That just sounds even beautiful when you say it.
Just like a sweet little private conversation. And then exchanging, if you get married, like exchanging rings equally. That sounds lovely and romantic to me. That would like fill my heart to the point of bursting.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then there were other people who were like, well, this woman's single, so she's just bitter because she wants Prince Harry. I was like, okay, first of all, I am significantly older than Prince Harry. Also, he's not my type. But
no, right.
You know.
So yeah, there's all that. Oh man, I can't believe that people.
Yeah, but nonetheless, anytime you're dealing with royals, there's a lot of interesting, like, rules around it.
I know, and I had no idea.
Yeah, so all this stuff is coming out. We kind of saw this when Kate and William got married, but now we're kind of going through it again. So their wedding, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, their wedding will be May the 19th, and with just months away from marrying him, she's already kind of stepping into this really complicated formal system of etiquette of who you bow to. She will have
curtsy.
To curtsy
to the
queen. The queen. And there's a lot of pictures of Kate doing that. Kate usually puts her it doesn't matter what foot you put behind, but Kate
doesn't.
I don't think
so. No, you're right. It doesn't, but she happens to put her left.
Kate puts her left behind. It's just like a little bend at the knee. It's like
I gotta say, with this curtsying and the bowing, I would end up doing a modern interpretive dance and I would be kicked out of the family immediately. I get nervous when there's rules in terms of greetings and bowings and even shaking hands.
I don't mind. I think it's cool.
I do too, but sometimes I'll give my, I don't know what's wrong with me. Sometimes I'll just give my left hand to shake. What is that?
Oh.
By accident? It's that kind of thing.
If there's like a designation where this hand is for eating and this hand is for bathroom time. Yeah, you want to be real conscious of that because then you're someone, calling somebody.
Well, even if when I'm meeting people for the first time and let's say I have something in my right hand, it's just very awkward. People are like, what is wrong with it? The point is.
Well, and then sometimes there's cultural stuff between men and women.
Right.
And you don't know, like, if the person you're offering your hand to observes that, then you've just made it awkward for them.
So, Meghan is supposed to, or I guess has to, the rule is, curtsy to Queen Elizabeth, Prince Philip, that's the Queen's husband.
Correct.
Prince Charles, Camilla,
mm-hmm.
and bowing for Prince William and Kate due to his position in line for the throne. So that's a bow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's going to make
bow, just curtsy, bow,
chilling
curtsy.
With your brother-in-law real awkward.
It's really, it is. Can you imagine? You're just trying to hang out, watch a football
game. I'm just going to get up and get a wine cooler. Do I have to bow to you again not turn my back to you when I walk out the room? Yeah.
So when, I wonder, I don't know like how often you have to do it. Do you constantly, every time they come into a room, every time they use the restroom and come back? I don't know. I don't know.
Got up to pee and do we have to stand up again? So, I mean, I it's like, in some ways, I think our culture is a little too casual.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But I think that's quite pretentious and time consuming. And I would like,
it's a dance is what it is.
It's a dance of elitism.
Okay. So it's so interesting though. She has to, Meghan has to curtsy to all the princesses born into the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then if Harry, her husband, is present, the roles are swapped and they must curtsy to Meghan. This is very confusing. And also because the husband's there. That's a weird thing.
I know. Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
I would need a little cheat sheet in my purse for a while.
That's the thing. Like, I would just start bowing, curtsy, bow, curtsy, dance,
just
bow, curtsy.
Bow and curtsy to everybody until they tell me to stop.
They'd be like, you have to go. I'm sorry. You have to sit over there because you can't.
See, that's the thing. I probably would just to be that kind of rabble rouser. They'd be like, you don't need to curtsy to the butler and be like, oh, but I do.
Oh.
Like, just to be.
You would just like,
to make a mockery of the whole thing.
To make a point.
And that is why I'm not part of that royal family.
Yet. You never know.
I don't think I'm going to.
You never know. There are stories about people that you would not think would end up in the royal family. Like Diana ended up in the royal family. And they were like, oh, she was a teacher. No way. Look what happened.
I mean, sure.
Anyway, we just don't know is my point.
But I suppose.
What we do know is that there's a lot of rules and we don't have those. I mean, I guess I was going to think in our culture, we have a handshake, sometimes a hug, sometimes a half hug.
I think our most detailed stuff is around attire.
Oh.
Like for black tie, white tie. I think white tie, that's where
it's a white tie. See, I don't know.
So white tie, your dress should be floor length.
Wait.
But your shoes shouldn't be visible unless you pick up the edge of your shirt to walk. And your sleeves should either be no sleeve or fully to your wrist, but none of the like half sleeve to your elbow.
Okay.
And men should wear the white vest, white tie with, and then tails on their tuxedo.
So and it has to all be white?
No, but the vest must be white. The jacket can be black.
Okay, great.
And the men look like penguins.
Okay, gotcha.
I went to a white tie event a couple of years ago, and it was the one time I've ever been to a dressy event like that in which the men were talking about clothing more than the women.
Really?
Because men are just like pop on a tux. They've been doing that since prom. It's the same tux forever, right?
Right.
But for the, and usually the women, we were talking about like, oh, I bought this dress or, oh, I got it secondhand. I've got on the clearance rack, whatever. For the first time ever, the men were freaking out. All the men there were all just like, man, this is weird. Cause when do men wear tails? Unless you're part of like British high society.
Unless you're reenacting Monopoly.
They all look like the Monopoly guy. The other funny thing is like the pockets were weird, I guess, in the jacket. And there's no side pockets on the hip, so all the men kept like throwing their phone in the lapel and losing them in the tails.
Oh.
All the men kept like
the tails are hollow?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was funny.
That is, I never knew this. So white tie, black tie. So you think that's where the most formal rules sort
yeah.
of come
and
out.
Military. I mean, we have all that.
Well, that's
you
true.
Know, lots of pomp and circumstance with military.
Yes, there's saluting. There's, yeah. Anyway, we've got stuff, but it's not quite as,
it's a formal society. There, not so much here. We're quite casual. We go to the store with the word pink across our rear ends.
Well, okay, here's, don't get me started. I have seen so many people, and you know what? Do what you want. Yeah. And I'm just dumbfounded with the amount of adults wearing SpongeBob SquarePants pajama fleece bottoms. I saw.
I'm just old fashioned enough that I won't leave the house with pajama bottoms.
No,
I'll go with yoga pants.
But not. Yeah. I was like, you are really wearing SpongeBob SquarePants, flannel or whatever that
grown
material
grown adult
is,
person.
Fleece to the bank.
Right. I know.
But I mean, I guess you do, and I think we've changed a little bit. People used to dress up to go on the airplane.
Oh, now?
Mm-mm. Oh, now it's, you're lucky if people are wearing pants.
Oh, I got a little sidebar on the aircraft situation, and that is this. The last couple of flights I've been on, I've noticed people taking their shoes off.
Oh.
And like, if it's a long haul flight.
Oh, if you're going overseas.
Fine. I have like a little travel slipper. It looks like a little black ballet flat.
Yes, I know those.
Right. And I'll just put that on.
He calls them, yeah, house shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to put that on if I'm going to be on a long flight. But people will put their bare feet.
On the floor?
On the floor.
That is.
My friend tweeted a photograph the other day. And I almost gagged because she was sitting in the window seat. Somebody this woman took her shoes and socks off and put her feet, like wedged them forward. So basically they were like touching my friend's hip and she felt it and looked and she was like, they are disgusting toenails and feet touching my hip. So
she
just like
curled up under her, the leg?
No, the woman put her feet straight forward. If you think about it,
and she was in front of her.
No, the woman was behind her.
Right. Your friend was
my friend was in front of the woman. Yeah. And so these feet are sticking through her seat.
Horrible.
And they were disgusting feet anyway.
That's a horror film, which adds
insult to injury. My friend was like, what do I do? And I said, you need to say something. You need to say, would you mind? And she was really like, I don't want to embarrass her. I don't know how to do this. And so, I think finally she said something like, hey, can you mind if we share the area a little more? And the woman just kind of scoffed at her and, I don't know. I would have been, and they apparently smelled. I would have flipped out. I would have flipped.
Oh, I'm going to barf.
I know. And she like sent me the picture of this woman's feet. And I was like, I would have.
This is not what we do.
I would have said, flight attendant, may I change seats?
I would have said, yes. I would have said the same thing because I wouldn't want to address the person because clearly for me, someone who does that is not probably going to be
open reasonable.
To feedback.
Are you open to feedback about your foot position?
Feedback. Feedback. I mean, anyway, that is disgusting.
Oh.
I can understand long flights and your house shoes for the plane shoes. Great. But not bare feet.
Not bare feet.
And if you're a foot model, I don't care.
I'm not even on board with just being in socks. Because look, feet smell.
They really do, especially if you're, there's a lot of airport waiting and sweating. And
I mean, my feet don't because I'm a delicate slip of a person.
Okay. All right. Well, if everyone but
everybody would go with my feet.
and we're waiting. It's winter sometimes. You got socks on.
Your feet sweat.
I mean, that's just part of the deal of being human. But I think it's the lack of self-awareness that this is an okay thing to do.
Yeah, and like super entitlement of like, my comfort is more important than everyone else here. That kind of stuff makes me so mad because I keep saying this word today, but it is. It's like elitist.
Yeah.
They're like, my thing is more important than yours. I don't care about you. That drives me crazy. Like, if we all work together here, we're going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah, teamwork.
Teamwork.
Especially when you're in close quarters on a plane. Teamwork is necessary.
Yes.
And any kind of close quarters.
Yeah.
You need teamwork or the thing's not going to go
well. The closer together you are.
Yes.
And the higher stakes it is.
Yes.
The more teamwork you need.
The more trapped you are. Look, we're all trapped in this metal tube.
Right. Hurling through the sky.
Through time and space.
Not time.
Oh, not time.
Maybe a time zone or two.
Yeah. A time zone.
Yes. And we act like absolutely. I mean, this bizarre caste system comes up the minute they open the boarding gate door.
Yes.
What group are you? What group? And then, and there's like
Flyer Premier Plus.
And there's, yeah, seven layers of first class now. Oh, but I have the plus on my card. So therefore, I'm like, I don't care.
If this plane goes down, we're all going to die.
We're all going to die the same.
In fact, if we go nose down, you're going first.
And also, it's not taking off till we're all on.
Right. So just simmer.
And I mean, maybe I get that luxury because I tend to pack pretty light. Mm-hmm. So it's usually not a big deal for me to like rush on and get a bunch of space in the overheads.
I don't even think it's that.
I usually will just sit down and just like, all of you go ahead and wait and I'll just get on when we're done here.
Well, that's what I do.
Because I don't want you to elbow me in the boob because you're threatened a woman's in front of you.
Well, I also am like, what are you rushing for? Because what is it so exciting on this plane that you're going to do for 10 minutes?
I mean, if you're in first class, that hot towel's nice.
I don't need a hot towel. I'm afraid I'm going to die. A hot towel's not going to help me.
It's soothing the nerve endings.
No, it's better for me actually to get on to last to make it go fast. So I'm not sitting
there. Right, so you're not worried. Sitting there. Totally agree.
Oh, I mean, I get nervous even talking
I would
about
just
it.
Like to say for the record, those were accidental times that I was upgraded. I've never purchased a first-class ticket. Well, I just want to say for the record.
I would love to. I don't think I've ever gone first-class. I would love to. It might make my claustrophobia better.
It probably would.
Yeah.
I mean, here's why I get upgraded sometimes. Because if I'm not in a hurry to get back and they need to bump people, I'll always volunteer.
Sure.
If there's a family, I'll always go, oh, do you want to sit together? I mean, there's a regulation. Like, you can't have two littles in one aisle. But I'm always offering, like, oh, you guys are split up here. Trade with me. I'm always offering that kind of stuff. And so I think just gate people are like, that's nice of you. Here, go.
Yeah, I get a lot of tickets for meals and things because I always do that. They're like, here, have a coupon. I'm like, okay.
Great. I'll take your coupon.
I'll take your coupon.
Yeah. All right. We need to go to break, don't we? I think we're going to go to break.
Okay.
A little bit later on the other side of news, we're going to be talking. We're going to be talking about some body positivity stuff.
Yes.
There's an ad that's driving us both crazy. We're going to be talking about it here on 720 WGN. All right. So 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth. We're on the stream.
We are on the stream.
Things work a little different on the stream because we get to visit with Judy. She comes in here and sees us. It's so fun.
I like it.
And she's not just like a little tiny face on a little screen.
No. And she smells wonderful.
She really does. Yeah, she always has lovely perfume situations going on.
Every time. She's probably like, okay.
She's like, well, those two are weird and they just made it weirder. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, bye.
We'll keep you updated on that train story. Mm-hmm. I mean, the really, really chilling images coming out of Washington State on that. So we'll keep checking in with the newsroom on that as more details emerge and we find out more and more about it, because that's very scary. I mean, anytime there's anything like that, but especially like around the holidays, you just know, you know, families are getting bad news this time of year. That makes it much, much tougher to, you know, much tougher to deal with. So. Yes, and again, we'll keep checking in with the newsroom
about that.
But in the meantime, we've still got lots to do here on the stream, which I love saying.
I know. I feel like we're in water. We're on this.
The floating show on a raft.
You got, yes, for those who don't know, we are actually submerged in water.
Well, we kind of are, because even though the news report said it was supposed to be partly sunny today.
Oh, you can't see it.
I can't see it, but it's a little gloomy where I'm looking.
It's kind of gloomy.
Yeah.
We're not really in water, by the way.
Thank you.
We're in a lovely studio.
For accuracy on that.
Yeah.
So we still have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
We were a little bit, last time we were here on the stream, we had all this stuff to talk about. We didn't get to it. Yeah. One thing that was really enraging us, that continues to enrage us, do you know Wish.com? You know,
yes, like the ads pop up
all the time for everything and the weirdest stuff.
Yeah.
So it's
like a shopping club. It's like
club.
Some kind
that's
of club.
The keyword. Like, yeah, yeah. You have to get a membership.
A it's not like
Amazon.
No, it's very strange to me, but people must do it because there's a lot of ads.
It sounds like Groupon plus Amazon plus Sam's Club.
Yes. Or something like that.
Costco altogether. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's like that. Anyway, the Wish.com ads pop up everywhere, and they are advertising some plus size ultra elastic tights, and they are doing so by taking very thin models, wearing the tights,
but not just wearing the tights,
like putting, like
they are
pulling them
the tights.
I don't know how to do this on radio. If I need
I
a camera,
tell you. So they are inside the tights,
their
the
whole
tights.
Body.
They are in one leg in some cases, and another model is in another leg in some cases, and they are pulled up over their head in some cases to, I don't know what, but this is their plus size nylons and tights ad that is making me enraged.
Sure.
Everything about it is wrong. I mean, it's just wrong. So there's a lot of body positive advertisements taking over. Praise, you know, whoever's running the show. Praise it. So, you know, there's soap companies that do them now. There's all kinds of companies that are really trying to be more body positive. This is the worst.
This is not it.
This is to promote body. Yeah. It's the opposite of body positivity. It's body shaming. For me, as a plus size woman, you know, seeing this, the messages are what's the word? I used enraged. That's a good one. Enraging. The message is this. Two people could fit into your tights. That's the first one that comes to mind. And I'm like, that is so sad. Let's make... These tights are so weird or funny. Let's make sort of modern art pieces out of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's like a mockery element to it of like...
It's sort of like, look, these
it's like, because they're being like fun and playful and like oh gosh, tiny woman caught in these
shapes.
Tights.
Yeah, like you're caught in a net kind of a situation. That's horrible. And in one of them, the woman is stretching the little small model. And you know, it's not her fault. She is who she is. But I'm just saying it's Wish.com's fault. And they're pulling it over. She's pulling them way over her head to show how long they are. And it's not.
I mean, just on the logistics of that one, if you stretch tights up over your head, that's going to hurt your lady parts.
It's going to hurt a lot of things. And it's going to lead to probably some infections. Let's be honest. So let's not go there. Just saying.
Don't stretch tights up.
The other thing is that it is, one, they're $2 tights, which is not going to last.
That is a long walk for a short drink of water right there.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big risk to sell $2 tights.
And now you have this backlash. Forget it. I hope they've taken... I don't know if they've taken them off.
Since this but story... probably, given that, broke. Like, they've gotten some coverage about this, because people are angry. Because, as you say, it's making... I mean, it's making a mockery.
It's also
showing, like, look, two models can fit in not just... Because here's the thing. Tights go against your body. They're form-fitting. They're tight.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not supposed to be loose.
Right.
And, like, the message
also... It's
like a
baggy sweatshirt. Two models can fit in that body
that would wear these
tights.
And also, yes, if you lose weight, you might be able to fit inside this way.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
No.
I feel it is wrong, and other people do too, because it's been in the news these last couple days about it.
Oh, lots of people are mad. Search it. If you look for it on Twitter, you'll see a lot of really candid reactions, and that is about all I can say about that.
Yeah. Here's the worst possible way to advertise plus size tights.
I mean, it pretty much is.
Yep.
I'm sure someone will be like, hold on, I got this, but no. Right now, that's just about the worst way I can think of.
Yeah, and I'm just super offended.
And right now, it seems like you like to think people are a little more aware and that wouldn't do something like that. Like, wow, this could be really insensitive.
I don't know who the execs are sitting around.
Here's a good idea.
Here's a great idea.
That's the thing. No one in a company can make a decision by themselves.
Someone has to check it.
And someone has to print it. Someone has to go. Someone has to, your boss, like, it went through a lot of human beings.
No one say, this isn't okay.
Right. And I would say sometimes there are situations where you can't speak up, or you're always the one speaking up.
Yeah, you're tired of it.
And you're like, why do I always have to stop these sexist ads or these racist ads or these
job?
Right.
So I get that. But someone on some level in this company, I don't care. If someone had to... No, everyone dropped the ball. Everyone let it go.
Everybody that touched that ad in any way totally screwed up.
And I don't like them. And they're on my list of people I don't like.
List of nope.
List of nope. Hard pass on that. Going to do a hard pass on
hard
that
hard pass
ad.
List. Yeah. Because that's... Yeah. When... Especially, I feel like we're starting to make so much headway on body positivity. There was a really great op-ed just not long ago in, also in the LA Review of Books that we were talking about earlier. It's by, Professor Brown, Afshan Jafar. And she wrote about basically if we want to make more headway, like if you want to stop, shaming bodies of different sizes, let's also stop thin praising.
Yes.
Which is a great point. Like, people talk about body sizes in very different ways, which we talked about last time we were on the stream. But, you know, her point was a beautiful one. She was like, hey, we don't need to go overboard, or we don't even actually need to acknowledge it at all if someone loses weight. Right. Let's just keep let's just not talk about bodies like this. Let's just not do this. Like, that's between you and maybe your physician or spouse, or even then. Shut up.
This is you and you.
Nobody is looking at your body more than yourself.
Unless you, it's something you really want to talk about with someone and they are open to talking about it too, and you want to share your thoughts about your own body, that's one thing. But making comments, and I think people think they're doing a good thing by saying, oh, you look great. No. Have you lost weight?
Right.
They're not.
Because the message is,
You didn't look better before.
Yeah.
And usually when people say that to me, it's because I'm wearing lipstick. It has nothing to do with my weight. It is very interesting. I'm like, I just put on lipstick. Like, get it together.
Sidebar to that.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that when clothing conversations happen with you, you will include the lipstick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you going to wear tomorrow?
A bold lip.
Probably this and a red lip.
Yeah, a red lip.
I will wear whatever the heck lipstick is in my purse today.
I have like 40 lipsticks that are different shades of red. And sometimes if I put on a red that's not, some reds just don't work with certain shirts, but a bold lip. I love a bold lip.
When did we start making that singular?
Bold lip?
Lip.
Yeah, I don't know. It was probably Bobby Brown fashion.
I think it was around the time the smoky eye started.
Smoky eye, bold lip.
I like a smoky eye. You want to go with a nude lip.
You really do, actually. You want to go with nude lips. But yeah, you for me, it's like a bold lip and a smoky eye. You're really making a statement.
There's a lot going on.
There's too much going on. Anyway, I'm very mad at wish.com. So that's the sum up that. They're on my list of no hard pass.
On the hard pass list. So last time we were on, we were also talking about how we were talking about like diet food.
Yeah.
How like Nutrisystem, the same product is marketed so differently to men and women.
Yeah.
SlimFast. There was a SlimFast ad on right after we talked about that.
Really?
I saw it later that night. I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing the same thing, because I saw them back to back within two different hours on a show. One was at the top of the hour, mostly to women, and it was all about they're delicious and it feels like a cheat and they're chocolate.
It's like a shake.
And to the men, it was like, you'll have energy and power, you will be full. And I was like, again, you're telling men they're going to have enough. You're telling
women they're going to have to sneak.
They're going to have to sneak.
Yeah, crumbs.
Enoughness
crumbs.
Doesn't even enter the conversation for women.
It's all sneaking.
It's all like, you're going to...
It doesn't matter if you're full.
Right.
You got a little bit. You got a little treat.
You got... Yeah, yeah. It was weird. So I was noticing that too. But also in the way we talk about different sizes of bodies of men and women, I think is interesting. There's a new magazine website, lifestyle brand, let's say.
Yeah, that is what it is. It's a lifestyle brand.
Because there's a magazine component.
There is a magazine component.
And a web component.
There is.
And thought leadership around it.
Yes. Yes, those are the great terms.
Yeah.
So that is what's happening. It's called Chubster.
Spelled the webby way, though.
Spelled the really cutesy way.
Yeah,
anytime. Chubster.
We have no need for vowels on the internet.
Apparently. Chubster. Right. Chubster.
And it's like a men's plus size lifestyle.
Exactly. And it's been around since 2010. And it is, basically what you would think it is. It's, men that are considered quote chubby. That's the other thing. The word chubby is cute. I think it's supposed to be cute.
Mm-hmm.
And the word fat is supposed to be ugly.
Right.
Right. So it's just interesting. They call a men's magazine Chubster. It's very cutesy. And it is a style destination for big and tall or plus size men.
So since it's been around since 2010, why is it all of a sudden getting all this kind of conversation and press?
You know what? That's a good question. And I think it's because there have been men that have said, wait, we're doing all this body positivity about women. What about men embracing their, and I mean, on the one hand, I get it. I think that, all's fair in body image, Chubster or fat or whatever you want to call it.
Men have feelings about their bodies.
Men have bodies.
Yeah. That's, and men have body image issues, just like women.
So true.
I think it's a little different. I don't think it's a totally equivalent conversation, just because women's bodies are sexualized a little more and talked about a little more publicly. You know, I mean, just by virtue of the fact that we have, like, if you walk a red carpet, it won't be like, he's looking good in that tux. It'll be like, dang, she looks good in that red dress. You know, it's all about, like, or oh, she has the little tummy. What if there's a belly? What if there's a baby in there? Like a baby bump situation.
Right.
Like, we speculate about women's bodies a lot. Even there's that manicure camera.
What?
There's ManiCam on, I think, the E! Network at all the big red carpet events. They have, it looks like it's a diorama red carpet, and they want actresses to, like, walk their fingers down the thing to look at their manicures.
That is the most insane thing I've ever heard.
I think it was Gillian Anderson that was like, get that out of my face. Like, yeah. She was like, absolutely, I'm not doing that. Why would I do that? I'm here to promote a film, not a manicure. I think it was her. I have to check on that.
I'm working. This is
right.
What I do. I don't.
Right.
This is not a game to me.
Jennifer Garner has been really vocal about that. Like when she and Ben Affleck were together, they would say like, Ben, tell me about the movie. Da, 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 da. And then they go, Jen, how do you balance work and mom? Right. And she was like, we are literally here to promote the same movie.
Right.
Why didn't you ask my husband?
Right.
He's in fact much better at changing diapers.
Right.
And she was like, and good for her.
And
she was really like, what's your problem? Why is this double standard happening?
Yeah. People do it now too, where they're like, who are you wearing? And people will say, do you ask that? Actresses will say, do you ask that to a man?
Right. A tux.
and someone had said, what does it matter who I'm wearing? I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm here to work.
I love that.
You know,
I'm working.
I say that too sometimes. I'm like, I'm working. This is at auditions when people want to do weird stuff. I'm like, no, I'm working.
And like, what do you mean weird stuff?
Well, like gossip or talk about.
Oh, no.
Or do a sort of chit chat about things or try to throw other people off their quote game. I'm like, no, I'm working. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to leave here and do my other jobs.
Yeah.
So this is a job for me.
Do
I don't have the time. I'm here to work.
Yeah, I'm not here to gossip about people and
really,
turn down.
Really not.
That's not.
I don't have time. So Chubster, the other thing I was going to say about it, it seems like it is more okay. Okay, what you said. Even in the plus size world, in the plus size magazines for women, which there are like 12, it is still a sexualized situation. It's about being, quote, voluptuous, which I think has, to me anyway, some sexual connotations. It's about being curvy, desirable curves.
Yeah.
For the men, it's just about being chubby. That's it. They're not saying, they're not sexualizing these guys. Now, good for them. They have this magazine. But why? I guess what I'm saying is, calling for plus size women's magazines to be more lifestyle and less all about sex and sexiness.
And exterior.
Yeah, exterior.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Chubster is a lot about like fitness, but sports, and they have tech stuff in there. In most of the plus size women magazines, it's all about that. How to sort of, it's the same magazine type language as how to please your lover.
Right, right. Instead that Cosmo stuff.
Instead of this great new app that does this, that
right.
has, you know.
That makes your life better, right?
We have more to life than our sexual identity.
Well, and I also wonder about, a term that's starting to emerge more and more is instead of like plus size, because then there's a need to designate something that is not plus size.
Sure, and it's other.
Or, sometimes I've even heard people say like normal size and plus size. Like, well, no, that's not cool
right.
either, because then you're saying this abnormal body.
Right.
So I've been hearing size inclusive.
Yeah.
Because then it's just about like, we're just going to put the model we want on our cover.
Yeah.
We actually don't care what size he or she wears.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
We're going in that direction.
We're going in that direction. There is a brand called Ready to Stare.
Okay.
And I've interviewed their founder, Elise D'Alessandro. She's very cool. And she's working on this like whole entire body positive, size inclusive work that is really
okay.
cool. And
I like that.
Because she's really like, it's not just about having necessarily bigger sizes of things. It's about having all sizes of things.
Well, that is my point. There's a company that I love that I've actually been in correspondence with called Universal Standard.
Okay.
And they make, but still, it is other. It is 10 to 28, size 10 to 28
right.
for women. Why not 0 to 28?
Well, I got issues with calling things 0.
Well, whatever.
I mean, like, Hollister or whatever with their 00.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of
whatever.
Here
Get out of here with that. But how about from a smaller person to a very large person? Why not the whole gamut? When you're making the clothes, just make the whole range of sizes.
Right. Just make a bunch
other
of sizes.
Thing,
right.
Other that I can't, whether it's other small or other, quote,
yeah.
larger. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's stop
and
with
can
that.
Can we? I mean, this is, I've said this one other time and I got eaten alive by listeners, but I've got trouble with the term real women.
Well, all women or people who identify as women are women.
Yeah.
They're real. They exist. They're not robots.
Right.
I have a problem with that
and,
term too.
And there's like a, and I get why it emerged. Mm-hmm. It was like, look, we don't have to be
less
supermodels.
Right.
to be fully feminine and feel sexy and all that. I get, and I like why it emerged. I think it's cool and accurate. But I think now the way it's used, especially online on Instagram, there's a lot of body positivity counts and things like that. The way it gets used a lot is like, if you are not from at least this size or bigger,
you're not a real woman.
You're not a real woman.
No.
You're, or like a belief that you're somehow necessarily restricting your body or something like that, you know, and I mean, that can be really painful to be like, some people would love to be able to fill out a little more and are conscious of it, like would love to change the way their body looks to make it smaller or bigger.
Sure.
And we can't, but it's like the default assumption is that we want our bodies smaller, which is nonsense.
That is nonsense. And by saying real women, you're still reinforcing for me the idea that there's people better than other people because of their size, like you just said.
Right.
And that is not okay. And, you know, I think the self-love is, for whatever, I can sound like a hippie, I don't care. Self-love is really the key, no matter what your size is.
You want to blow someone's mind? Say, like, dare to say something kind about yourself to another person, and people don't know what to do.
Yeah, they say, they think you're being weird, or you're joking. You know, like, I love myself. They're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
Two times in the last couple weeks, somebody has made an assumption that I wanted to be smaller.
Yeah.
One, though, it was like, it was at a gathering and there was some food there and they offered me something that I'm actually quite allergic to. It had nothing to do with its healthiness, but I'm really allergic to that food. And I said, oh, no, thank you. And it was like, why are you on a diet?
Please.
And I was like, what?
Stop.
And they're like, well, you don't need to really, it was the, you don't need to really lose anyway. And I was like,
first of all, be quiet.
Don't comment.
Second of all,
I was like, oh, I like my body just like it is. We made peace long ago. And everyone looked at me like I had just like,
I know,
like sneezed a lobster.
You
nobody
said
what
snakes
to do.
Were coming out of your eyeballs.
Oh, nobody went. They were all like, okay then. And it was, and then everybody scooted away from me like I had,
I mean, why
like I smelled bad.
No.
like everybody was, I was like a ostracized at this. It was really funny and weird how people didn't know what to do with me going like, nah, my body's fine. We made peace long ago. They're
because
like,
everyone, thinks that we have to walk around thinking there's something very wrong with us, that we are defective and flawed.
Yeah. Like, oh no, she doesn't buy into the diet industrial complex. What do we do with her?
She's weird.
What a weirdo.
God forbid we're healthy. You know, mentally, physically.
Or just make people, I mean, that's the thing. We're told so young to,
oh, please. I could do a whole memoir, one person show, monologue session on that.
What I would like to see that.
Okay.
I would enjoy, I would sit through every minute of that. Please do that.
Maybe they'll give me a 7-hour slot on the stream tomorrow.
No problem, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, we do get a lot of messages. This is burned in my head. Probably about 10 years ago, I was in the grocery store and I saw a woman, and she and her daughter had like matching little shirts on and it was cute, you know, and the girl wanted to buy some kind of treat.
Yeah.
And the mom, I mean, look, I don't have kids, so I don't like to criticize parents unless it's something overt, like beating your kid or whatever. But like, cause you know, I don't know till I've walked a mile in your shoes, what your, you know, what made what come out of your mouth right then. But she, very sweetly and calmly, not in an exasperated way, you know. She looked at them and read the nutrition label, which is totally fair, which I would do too. And then she like put them back and she was like, no, honey, those are, really fattening. And the girl didn't like, she kind of made a face like she didn't know what that was. And she was like, we want to be pretty. We want to be so pretty. And then we don't want to get fat. And I was just like, oh my God, that woman just put that poor child in therapy. Right, like that poor girl is going to be like, okay, a thing I don't want to ever do is gain weight.
Right.
You know, that poor.
That's the worst. I mean, I grew up with the idea it's better to look good than feel good. That was what people in my family always said. It's better to look good than feel
said
good.
Said it that overtly.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that was the message. It's be anything but unattractive.
Was that in reference to fashion or weight or
everything?
Really?
Better to look good than to feel good. And I was like, oh, okay. So, and that's so subjective too.
Yeah.
It's like, by whose standard? So it's unattainable.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, but it's also very damaging. So I think at least I can speak for myself. I need to be very aware of what comes out of my mouth to people. especially about things that are sensitive for a lot of people, whether it's addictions or food or body image, yeah. things that you don't know what's going on with somebody.
And you know what? I know there's, I'm sure there's someone listening going, oh, that I refuse to be, you know, buy into the politically correct kind of thing. Here's my trick for you. You're free to say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But gut check your, my one favor I ask of you, if you find yourself saying, that's politically correct, you know, crap or whatever, switch out politically correct crap for the practice of treating people with respect yeah. and just see if it still works.
Okay.
So if like, you want to say like, I'm not going to say body positive or right. like bodies that don't look like models yeah. because that's politically correct crap.
Yeah.
Switch it out. Like, yeah. I'm not going to like all bodies or, you know, refuse to say, I'm not going to say body positive or body inclusive or size inclusive because that's treating people with respect.
Right.
You know, then you realize like, oh, maybe I sound like a jerk.
Right. Right. Check it out with yourself.
And also, like, a lot of the times it's not your call.
Just, I think.
Particularly around, like, when you're talking about a community of people.
It's just.
Like, it's not your. It,
yeah.
People get to decide what title they want.
Yeah. I think a lot of it can come from people not knowing what to say. I do think social anxiety, especially at functions, people don't know what to say. And so they start saying real weird stuff. I mean, especially around the holidays, there's a lot of food. There's a lot of booze. People will make conversations that make no sense. And they will say random things. So let's all think about what comes out of our mouths during this holiday season, which is about love. There's my.
That's a great note to end
there we
on.
Go.
That's our PSA for today. All right. Well, that just about does it for us on the stream. So we're going to take a break and wrap things up here on 720 WGN.